Despite what you have done, despite how many people you have hurt, God is willing to give you a brand new start. He said if any person is in Christ, they have become a brand new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. Listen, God's saints have all been transformed by the gospel.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Paul addressed his Ephesian letter to the saints gathered at Ephesus. So, who were the saints? Pastor Brian Grant speaks directly to that question this evening in his message entitled, What a Real Saint Looks Like. Tradition may say one thing, but tonight, and using God's word as our only word of truth, Pastor Grant will open up for us several marks or characteristics the Bible identifies as being true of everyone whom God calls saints, his holy ones. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, What a Real Saint Looks Like. Here now is Pastor Grant.
On December the 16th, 1944, Adolf Hitler launched a massive surprise attack on the Allied forces in Ardennes region of France. That day, 250,000 Nazi troops caught the Allies by surprise. Unfortunately for the Allies, that group they attacked was about 80,000 inexperienced soldiers, and in no time the Nazis had broken through. The Battle of the Bulge had begun, and if you don't know about the Battle of the Bulge, you need to go home and read your history. But the Battle of the Bulge had begun, and the Battle of the Bulge is regarded as one of the most brutal battles in American history. In that very short battle, the Allies lost 90,000 troops, and 20,000 American soldiers lay dead in a matter of days. That's when the Supreme Allied Commander, General Dwight Eisenhower, called up General George Patton. Patton was a true warrior. In fact, his nickname was Old Blood and Guts because Patton was known for his grit and his courage. And although Patton's army wasn't close at range, they figured Patton could do something to save this massacre that was taking place. In an unbelievable, brilliant military strategy, somehow General Patton was able to mobilize the Third Army and break through the Nazi ranks within 7 days. Patton hit them with such an incredible attack, such a barrage, and he was supported by some other troops that, listen, the Germans could not recover, and within 3 months, the Nazis had surrendered, and their participation in World War II had come to an end. Patton went on to become a legend, and in fact, pretty much any list of the greatest American generals you will ever see, General Patton is ranked as one of the top 10. In fact, many say he's the second greatest American general ever. But you know, Patton is such a great general. Books have been written, movies have been made about Patton. But the real unsung hero is Patton's mom. Because when George Patton was a little boy, he suffered from a very severe learning disability, and as a result of this disability, he had great difficulty learning to read, write, or spell. Today we have found out that what he had was dyslexia, and we have found ways to deal with it. But back in the 1890s, when George Patton was a little boy, there was absolutely no one who knew what to do. So anyone who was born with dyslexia back then was almost guaranteed to be a failure. But Patton's mother, Ruth, was not going to allow that. And Patton's mother stuck with him and encouraged him and pushed him. And so by the time he was 11 years old, Patton had started to learn how to read and write. Patton, as he later on in his life, George Patton realized that it was because of his mother that he had become this American legend. And he would often tell his colleagues that were it not for my mom, I would not be the success I am today. And after she died, Patton wrote his mom a letter and he said, "Dear mama, you're still very near." He says, "My only regret is that during your life, I didn't take more time to tell you how much I love you and to tell you how much I admire your courage." He was a great man, but he had missed one of life's great opportunities. And I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, that if your mom is still alive, that today and every single day, you take time to let your mom know how special she is. Might I tell you, it will mean more to her than you ever think. Take time to tell mom that she is special. I'm so glad to have had a great mom. Moms are so special. Without them, we wouldn't be here. But you see, moms mean more than just giving us birth. They nurture us, they encourage us. A good mom, sadly, not everybody's going to say the same about their mom. But listen, even if your natural birth mom was not special, I trust that there's somebody in your life that was like a mom to you, who mothered you, nurtured you, encouraged you. Moms know just how to pick you up when you fall down and bruise the knee and kiss the knee. And somehow that kiss has healing properties. Moms are so special that some people call their mom an angel. Some people call their mother a saint. President Richard Nixon, he always said his mom was a saint. But you know, Nixon left the White House in disgrace. So mom, if your son or daughter calls you a saint, probably you can't fully depend as to whether that's so or not. But listen, there is somebody whose word you can depend on. And if God says you are a saint, you are a saint. And as I was thinking about what I would share with you this morning, the Lord led me to an unusual message for Mother's Day. I want to talk to you about what a real saint looks like. You say, how does that have to do with Mother's Day? Can you imagine how it would revolutionize our homes and our families, Mom? Can you imagine, Mama, if your children decided today to become a saint and to behave like a saint? Can you imagine what would happen at home? Can you imagine if the fathers, the men in the home, can you imagine if they decided to behave like saints? Mom, can you imagine if you decided to be a saint? This is that pie in the sky, because here's the good news. Every single person here this morning can leave here knowing for sure you're a saint. I want you to understand that. You said, Pastor, you don't know my background. I don't need to know your background. God knows your background, and he's the one saying you can. Every single person can leave here a saint. So you say, some of you are sitting here and you're saying, well, this message is not for me because I'm one already. But I'm going to also talk about the fact we need to behave like a saint. Oh, come on now. God wants us not only to leave here this morning being sure we are saints, but he wants every person who is already a believer in Jesus Christ to make a commitment to behave like a saint, because he wants to change some families. And this would be the best Mother's Day ever if everybody here said, God, I'm willing to look like one. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is one of the most well-known Catholic nuns. You know, she never had children of her own, but she raised thousands of children who had been abandoned and discarded. Some were abandoned because of AIDS, some were abandoned because of tuberculosis and other things, but for whatever reason, these children were abandoned, and Mother Teresa took them into her home. Thank God for people, mothers like that. And I'm so glad to know that in our church there are some who have adopted children, who have done acted as foster parents for children. They weren't your children, but you took them in and you mothered them. Hallelujah. Thank God for you. Mother Teresa died in 1997, and 9 years later, the Catholic Church canonized her and made her a saint. You see, the Catholic Church believes that to be a saint, you have to be dead. Number two, you have to have lived an exemplary life. And number three, you must have been involved in at least two miracles. But let me ask you, is that what a saint really looks like? Do you have to be dead? I don't want to be a dead saint. But as Paul begins the letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1, look with me there. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Hallelujah, these people were saints. These people were living, breathing people. They were fully alive. Hallelujah. They were fully alive, but Paul says they were saints. This morning I want to share with you very quickly three facts about God's saints. Three facts about God's saints. Number one, God's saints all have a sinful history. God's saints all have a sinful history. Some of you may be surprised to hear that, because in your mind, a saint was somebody who was almost perfect. They did little or no wrong. You could almost see the halo over their head. In fact, in your mind, a saint is somebody so special that there is no way you could be a saint.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
My friend, you got it wrong. Because to be honest, none of us would make it if it has to be that special. Look at the history. Paul tells us that these people in Ephesus were saints, but look at what he tells us about them in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, here's what Paul says about these saints. He says, you, God has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. These people were dead folks in sin. He says, you are so into your sin. He says, you used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That term, the prince of the power of the air, is a term the Bible used to describe the devil. Paul says, you used to just follow the devil around. You see, Ephesus was a place where they were so much into idol worship. It was the center of worship, I told you last week. It was the center of worship for the goddess Artemis or Diana, the leading goddess at that time. And even worship was sinful. Even worship was erotic, because worship included hundreds of religious prostitutes. You can use your imagination. Worship was sinful. But not only were they into all sorts of stuff, this place was steeped in witchcraft. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But they were big into witchcraft. And yet, Paul calls them saints. Why? Because God had transformed them. God had turned these sinners into saints. And my friend, the good news is the God who turned the Ephesian sinners into saints is willing to do the same for us this morning. Amen? The problem is sometimes we don't want to believe we're sinners. I'll never forget the first time I went to jail, not as a prisoner, hallelujah. Although I did pay a brief visit to prison, as a prisoner, arrested falsely for messing with a police. He said I assaulted him. Well, that's another story for another time. I just rested my hand on the poor man's shoulder to try and reason with him. The next thing he says, you have arrested a police officer. And off I was, locked in jail. You've got me started the story. I don't know where that came into my mind from. I said, I'm allowed a phone call. He said, not in this jail. That's good old Jamaican justice. He says, I'm going on a mission, and when I come back, I'm going to beat you like how thugs like you should be beaten. That time I'm dressed all in my tie and everything. But that's another day. You'll hear the end of that story somewhere along the line. But here I am, I had no experience, I'm going to prison ministry, and I go in and I said to the first guy I saw, I said, how was your day? He said, you don't seem to understand where I am. He didn't say that, but his face said, I'm in jail, fool. So I asked him my next more penetrating question. So I said, what are you here for? He said, murder. I said, by the way, that's a true story. I was so blown away because I thought that they weren't going to let us into with the murderers. But he was there as a murderer. And then he said, but I'm not guilty. Well, he probably was like me. But do you know what I found out after a while? Almost every time I went to prison ministry and asked the guy, he said he wasn't guilty. There is something about us that doesn't want to accept the fact that we're guilty. And there's some of you here this morning who don't want to come to the grips with the reality that you are a sinner. You say, after, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as that other dude. I'm pretty good. To be honest, if God gets me, he's a lucky guy. But here's what my Bible says. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my friend, I just want you to get this. Whether you're male, female, young or old, you need to recognize that God says you are a sinner. He says every single person who has put foot on planet Earth are sinners. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. And my friend, God wants you to admit this morning that you are a sinner. Will you do that? You see, until you are willing to admit you're a sinner, there is absolutely no possibility that you can be a saint. Because in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 verse 32, here's what Jesus said. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, I have come to call sinners to repentance. Did you hear what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying he only came for sinners. The message of the gospel is only for a sinner. And unless you're willing to say, God, I'm a sinner, there is no salvation possible. But this morning I'm praying, and we are praying, that if you're here this morning and you have never come to Jesus and said, Lord, save me, it is our prayer that this morning will be your morning when you'll open your heart and your life and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. God's saints all have a sinful history. But secondly, God's saints have all been transformed by the gospel. We're going to put up a verse that we read in Sunday school this morning, and it confirmed what God wants, some of the things God wants me to talk about this morning. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we'll put it on the screen for you. And it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You know, I believe there's somebody here this morning that if you were honest and you reflected on your past, you'd say, boy, I wish I could get a brand new start. And God is offering you a brand new start. despite what you have done, despite how many people you have hurt, God is willing to give you a brand new start. He said, if any person is in Christ, they have become a brand new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. Listen, God's saints have all been transformed by the gospel. Let me share with you two ways in which this gospel transforms a life. Number one, salvation begins when we believe the gospel. Salvation begins when we believe the gospel. Look with me here at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12. Here's what it says. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to what it is saying. It is saying that these Ephesians, how did they become saints? Don't miss this, folks. These folks became saints because they trusted after they heard the word of truth, which is the gospel. They said, after you heard the gospel, you trusted. It says, in whom having believed. These people believed the gospel. I run into people all the time who believe the reason they're going to heaven is because they're good church members. I'll ask them, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, are you sure you're on the way to heaven? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not sure how you'd answer. And do you know what people say? They say, Brian, I'm a member of Heaven-Bound Baptist. And all of us in Heaven-Bound Baptist are heaven-bound. I've been baptized. I am in the usher board. I'm a trustee. My friend, you could be baptized upside down, right side, up sideways. All I want you to know is when you're baptized, if you have never trusted Jesus, you went into the water a dry sinner and you came up a wet sinner. Nothing happened. You see, these people were saved because, listen, they believed the gospel. Well, the word believing the gospel, you may say to me, what is this gospel? The first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15 gives us in a nutshell what the gospel is. And the Bible tells us some key essentials of the gospel. Christ died for our what? Sins. All of us are sinners. But thank God Jesus Christ died for our sin. That's the good news. Jesus died. He paid the penalty that my sin deserved and your sin deserved. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for your sins? But listen, he was buried, it says. And then it said, on the third day he rose again. That's hallelujah ground, because if Jesus, it was still, listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if Jesus was still in the tomb, his death would be like anybody else's death, but Jesus Christ. And by the way, in case some of you wonder, is this for true? Listen, this is the most well-authenticated fact in ancient history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has been authenticated, not just by the Bible, but all sort of secular historians. Jesus Christ's resurrection is factual and authenticated. And the fact that my Jesus is alive gives authority to the fact that he's able to save and to keep all those who come unto God by him. Hallelujah.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today.
If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.